This is the Fantasy Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali and Matt Marchese alongside you for the 2022 NFL season. It's finally here. I can't believe it. It's finally here after a long and, I suppose, tumultuous offseason. Guys like Devontae Adams getting traded, Tyreek Hill getting dealt, Tom Brady retiring and then unretiring. That all happened this offseason. I can't believe that happened in 2022, but it's over. It's in the rear view. The preseason is in the books. The hype trains have left the station, I'm sure, on your favorite sleepers. We are here to talk about all of it. Matt and I are live from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern across the network every Sunday morning, beginning on September 11th. We'll be chatting waiver pickups, start sit recommendations, injury news. We'll go over every game on a weekly basis. And of course, your text and tweets at 590-590 as well, so we can help you to what will, we hope, be a fantasy championship in January. But I'm so happy to be back on the airwaves talking fantasy football. Happy to be doing it alongside Matt Marchese. He's here for the ride. Matt, before we get started on fantasy football stuff, we'll get to a lot of that obviously between now and January, but first, how are you? I feel like I haven't spoken to you on the air in months. You're now a father. You and your wife, proud parents of a 2-week-old baby. Like, how have you juggled getting ready for the fantasy season and also parenting a newborn?
Well, the parenting the newborn thing is, you know, when it's a firstborn, you literally have no idea. If I were to give advice to new parents, it would be, you know nothing. That is the advice that I can give you, because everything is unpredictable. What I do know is that you're not going to sleep. I can absolutely promise you, you are not going to sleep, but it's all worth it. My daughter is just a shade under 2 weeks old as we record this. And you get a little frustrated at times when you're changing like 100 diapers, and then you just look at them and everything, every bit of anxiety, every bit of, you know, I'm so exhausted that I can't even function, all goes away because you look at them and just smile. And I know that's very sentimental, but it's the truth. It's been a wild ride. Preparing for fantasy season has certainly been interesting. When we did our draft for The Fan and former employees of The Fan, I did that with my daughter being barely a week old. So that was a very interesting thing, especially because it was an auction style. That was very interesting. So it's been great, and certainly can't complain, but I know one thing is I'm very, very much looking forward to the start of the NFL season, because as we know, it is arguably the greatest time of the year, not only in because football's around, but sports in general. Everything will be on the go starting in the fall. And this NFL season is shaping up to be a really, really fun one, especially in the AFC.
Yeah, the stretch run for baseball and the baseball playoffs themselves. We hope the Blue Jays make the playoffs in October. We're going to get hockey back. We're going to get basketball back. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of the other kind of the non-traditional four major sports, right? Like tennis and golf. They have tournaments between now and Christmas, for example. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun between now and the beginning of fall and as we get into winter as well. Real quick, does new dad strength exist, Marchese? Like I remember we talked about that a lot with Fred Van Vliet when the Raptors were in the NBA Finals, and I think Danny Jansen has a kid on the way. Is that true for you? Do you have new dad strength?
Well, I'm able to do things that I was never able to do before, like being able to carry something in one hand and carry a baby in the other
that
hand
qualifies,
without even blinking.
Right?
Yeah, but I do believe like my back is going to be so much stronger, because you're always in these weird positions and you're using muscles that you've never used before. I believe that dad strength is a real thing.
Okay.
And I hope to have it, because I don't have a lot of regular strength to begin with.
Okay, well, I'm glad the birth of your child has augmented your regular strength. But I'm glad to hear that you, your wife, the newborn are all doing well. Like you said, I actually wasn't sure you'd have time for our work league this year, the 14 team auction style draft. I gotta say, on that draft, real quick, that draft usually takes, I want to say, like 3 hours, if not sometimes a titch more. And this year, it actually only took about, like, I think 90 minutes, or maybe like slightly more than 90 minutes, which I gotta say I was kind of shocked by. I'm a big fan of snake drafts, because I think snake drafts, you can do more fun stuff. Like you can do more fun draft events. Like for my home league, Matt, What do we do every year? And this is a league I've been in for about 15 years or so. What we do is we all bet on horses and we go down to Woodbine Racetrack.
Nice.
And we like each pick a horse and we do like heats. And if you win, you advance to the next heat. And I mean, like you go and there's like, you know, you're gambling as well and you're imbibing to a certain degree as well, which I think makes it fun because you know these guys for such a long time. That's kind of why I'll always be a little more in favor of snake drafts than auction drafts, even though I do think auction drafts, generally speaking, are the more fair way because you can like kind of essentially construct your team exactly the way you'd like to. But I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo either style. It's just I think that's probably why I personally have always been a little more favor of snake drafts.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one too because it's more fun, especially you know when you play Dynasty, when you draft every year with rookie drafts, that's how you're doing.
Yeah,
you're doing it based on seeding and all that stuff. So I think that's what we're used to. I do agree that snake drafts are more, they may be more fun. Auction drafts, certainly, like you said, you can tailor your roster to how you would like to do it. I will say, for those that play, and a lot of people are switching over to Sleeper, they've added a nice little wrinkle in their, in what you can do with the draft. And I think they did it last year where they started it, where you do a third round reversal. So you have your first two rounds that go as is. And at the end of the second round, which would end with the team who drafted first getting the last pick in the second round, it reverts back and the team who picked last gets that first pick in the third round.
So what
it does is it gives you, it basically makes it so that it's a little bit more fair in the first three rounds when you're drafting the more elite talent. And it's been a nice little wrinkle for drafts everywhere. So Sleeper's done a great job in improving their product. Just wanted to give them a little bit of a shout out because they are pretty awesome right now.
I know you got voted down. You got voted down in our work league as to moving from Yahoo to Sleeper. I think I'm behind now that they've made me the commissioner, Matt. So next year I'm behind moving to Sleeper. I'll commit to that right here on the air.
Yes, and the other good thing about Sleeper as well, I mean, it's free, so that's obviously a good start. You can also do, and this is what I preach to people when we play fantasy, is, and we did it in one league because we used CBS, and CBS was great for basically your scoring and everything. You could make it so that it was your own. The one thing that we did with CBS, but you have to pay for it, is play multiple matchups per week. So we would actually have two matchups per week. What Sleeper has done is you play two matchups, but one of them is against the median score against the rest of the league. So that eliminates the risk, the luck factor, sorry. So if I have the second highest scoring week and I lose to the first highest scoring week, at least I get another win in the win column because I beat the median. And I think it eliminates the luck factor, which I think is great for fantasy because then you get rewarded for actually having a good team.
I've actually done that. I've never done it in fantasy football. I actually have done that a couple times in fantasy basketball for points leagues, and people love it. Like it's very, very popular. So I think if you can apply that to a fantasy football league, I think you'll probably be very happy. But yeah, I think there's so many, like as we look into draft season, because it's September now that we're recording this, you and I are going to get started in earnest on Sunday, September 11th. The season actually starts on Thursday, September 8th, and then you and I get started for week one, the rest of the week one games on September 11th. But draft season is underway, and I always think, Matt, that draft season is one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite parts of the fantasy football calendar because it's so full of promise. No one has busted yet. No one is injured yet, unless you drafted like mid preseason, which I always say, friends don't let friends draft during the preseason as much as humanly possible. At the very least, sometimes it's unavoidable because of life circumstances. But as much as you can, try not to draft during the preseason. But I whenever I think of draft strategies and, you know, we were talking about snake drafts and auction drafts, I always will say there's no real wrong way to do it because every league is different. Every league has different settings. Every league has different amount of people in it. Some people do IDP leagues. Some people have punters, coaches, offensive linemen in their fantasy league. So there's no wrong way to do it. I will say for us, though, we're going to do some rankings on this pod and the next preview pod. And for the actual season itself, I'll probably go out on a limb and say we'll probably stick to this. Half PPR is where we'll probably fall for most of our rankings, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's a lot of leagues are doing that. I mean, that seems to be the consensus. It is funny, though, how standard is no longer standard.
It's true.
Standard is basically PPR, but we just continue to call it standard. How about we just call it non-PPR, and then we start it now. Non-PPR and standard, which is PPR. Let's get the train rolling here, because there's not very many leagues that just play with standard scoring. I mean, I'm in one, and I'm not a fan.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I love fractional scoring as well. But if you have the half or full PPR and then fractional, that's the sweet spot for me.
Yeah, you have to have that. And there are some that do standard and don't change the rules, and it's just standard with non-fractional scoring, which is like that is the bane of my existence. I will go that far.
Okay. Well, whenever you send in your text messages for the in-season version of the Fantasy Show, and you text us at 590-590, I'll be sure to specify standard or non-PPR. Let's put it that way. Although we often get texts that say standard PPR, which I guess just means full PPR. If you say standard PPR, I guess that means like a full points per reception league. But anyway, we'll get to that when it happens, when the season begins again on Sunday, September 11th. The rest of the Week 1 games is when the Fantasy Show is going to get going again, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern across the Sportsnet Radio Network. But on this episode, some previews as we get set for the season. We'll be focusing on quarterbacks and tight ends. And in the next episode, before the season gets underway and we're live, we'll be hitting up the running backs and wide receivers. But for now, and again, half PPR, top 12 rankings for each of us, quarterbacks and tight ends. Why don't you get us started, Matt? I know you're a fan of a particular real life National Football League team. I never know really if people are going to switch up their fantasy rankings based on how much they like their real life team, but I'll let you start us off.
I think we read each other's mind with the first one. And I feel like at this point that is a little chalk, but it's Josh Allen at number one for me. Based on last season, he was the highest scoring quarterback again. I mean, this team is now built based on the weapons that they have. Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis is going to take a step forward. Isaiah McKenzie, who has shown flashes of being really good and a really solid contributor, is going to get more of a role. They added Jamison Crowder. They already have Dawson Knox. And I think the biggest acquisition for them on the offensive side of the ball was drafting James Cook, a running back who they've never had before, at least under Josh Allen they haven't had. So that's why I have Josh Allen number one. Do we want me to go right through to 12 and then we'll go over it, or we want to go back and forth with our ones and twos?
Yeah, why don't we go back and forth real quick? Because I feel like for the most part, our top 12 will have, if not exact same people, will have some of the same people at the very least. So we don't have to repeat ourselves too much. But yeah, my number one quarterback this year in 2022 is also Josh Allen. I mean, look, he had 24.6 fantasy points per game as his average last season. That was his average, 24.6 fantasy points. I mean, I think it's always difficult for players to repeat as the top positional value there. You know what I mean? Like if someone said Justin Herbert's going to be the number one overall quarterback, I'm not going to quibble too much, because the difference between Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, while I do think Josh Allen is going to probably be better both in fantasy and in real life, generally speaking, the difference isn't going to be a monstrous difference when you get to that first tier of quarterbacks, right? But having said that, Josh Allen is the guy, because with him too, the rushing upside is always going to be there. I agree with you with James Cook, and you got Devin Singletary as well. You got Zach Moss to a certain degree. But while we can quibble about what James Cook will do to the value of Devin Singletary, for example, and if you can quibble about if Isaiah McKenzie will be used more or less than Gabriel Davis, or if Jamison Crowder will eat into some targets as well here, I'm sure those are all. We'll get to all of that over the course of the season. The one person that will not hurt is Josh Allen. He is just he is a tremendous quarterback. I mean, I think he was the number one overall quarterback. He ended with the fifth most fantasy points under expectation. So there's no way you cannot pick Allen number one overall if you're looking at a quarterback first off the board. I'm curious real quick.
When it comes to one QB leagues, Matt, where do you like to take your first quarterback off the board? Two QB leagues or super flex leagues? That's a whole other conversation, because that really messes with, you know, do you take a quarterback number one overall? Probably. But where do you take your first quarterback in a one QB league?
So because there's so many good ones, I actually wait. Like if it's a snake draft, I will wait until like the eighth round, ninth round. There's guys like Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr and Russell Wilson that you can grab late. There's plenty of value later on in one QB leagues. I won't reach for a guy like Josh Allen. If he's available in like the sixth round, which he almost never is, then I will take him. Even in auction or salary cap leagues, I do the same thing. I wait for the value of quarterback to drop, and then I can grab one. I mean, I got Jalen Hurts in our work league for basically nothing in a one QB league, and it's fine because there's lots of upside there. I just think in the single QB leagues, it's there's better value at other positions that you can grab in those earlier rounds, which is why I'll wait on quarterback, because the discrepancy from who you get in a quarterback in round five to round nine isn't as big as the running back or the wide receiver that you get in round five and round nine.
Yeah, I like to call that the idea of positional scarcity, right? Like there's so many good quarterbacks out there that if you don't take Josh Allen, but you do take Derek Carr or Joe Burrow, who in my rankings are 8 and 9, if you go for one of those guys, like, yes, are you getting 75% of what Josh Allen is? Yeah, probably. But the upside is there for a lot of these guys. And yeah, I mean, again, two QB leagues, super flex leagues, I think that's a whole other conversation. And I'm in a couple of those kinds of leagues, and it's really fun, kind of, because it really changes the way you value basically every player. But at the same time, yeah, at least for one QB leagues, half PPR. Well, I guess half PPR doesn't matter too much for quarterbacks. But at the same time, Josh Allen's number one for both of us. Who's your number two quarterback here in your rankings?
I think I'm a little bit higher on this guy than most, but I went with Lamar Jackson. He's waiting for a contract extension. Last year he got hurt and he did finish as QB 16, but he was QB 8 in points per game. And I think we're going to see an MVP type season again from Lamar Jackson, because he's playing for that contract and he wants those big bucks. And it doesn't sound like he's negotiating during the season. Lamar Jackson, I think, is going to have a monster year and could be a front runner for the MVP, which is why I think he needs to be on your fantasy teams. I've got him at number two.
You know, I swear we didn't plan this, but Lamar Jackson is also my number two quarterback.
Nice.
I mean, let's be real, Matt. He had a relatively speaking for him, a bad season in 2021, right? I think, or at least in the sense of bad, meaning you expected far more from someone who won the MVP just a handful of seasons ago. And he didn't throw the ball a whole ton, right? I mean, in terms of prior to 2021, in 2019 and 2020, he had 37 or more passing attempts in a game, only four times overall. And he did that five times in 2021 alone, right? And of course, a lot of that was about injuries, right? There are tons of injuries. He was injured himself. He was dealing with some sicknesses as well. I think he was like out with a couple of different bugs throughout the season. And his receiving core was as decimated as it has ever been.
Let's not forget about the running backs. Yeah. That makes a big difference. If you can't run the football with some talented players, like J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards were lost for the season before the season even started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they went to the street and got Devonta Freeman.
Gosh, Devonta Freeman, he won me some games last year. I'll say that
he
much.
Did. He did. but it's a far cry from Gus Edwards.
It's true.
And J.K. Dobbins. And that's part of the reason why I think it's going to be a big year for him.
I agree. I think Lamar Jackson, I know people kind of knock him for not being an elite passer, but if he gets the volume, and I think the volume is there passing-wise, and he gets a little bit more help receiving core-wise, which I think they did try and do so for him, and maybe Rashad Bateman takes that next step this season. I know no Marquise Brown, so Bateman pretty much has to take that step, but I think it's Lamar Jackson is too talented not to have a top five season, in my opinion. And I'm pretty high on him as well. So I got Lamar Jackson at two. I have Justin Herbert at three, Matt. Justin Herbert. does that mean you too have Justin Herbert?
I have Justin Herbert at three as well.
Okay, so that pushed Herbert at three, pushed Mahomes to four.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. That is not because I think Patrick Mahomes is like all of a sudden trash, right? It's not an indictment of Patrick Mahomes. He's obviously a supreme talent in this league. I just feel like their fantasy situations, I would rather have any of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes, just because of the uncertainty. I'm generally speaking, and you'll come to know this about me, Matt, I'm pretty conservative. Especially when you're picking the top guys at the position, I feel like I would rather sacrifice maybe like one or two spots to make sure I have the highest, like the safest, highest upside pick versus a situation that has some kind of uncertainty, right? And Justin Herbert, I think generally speaking, better weapons. He has a better offensive line. He has better running backs, which I think will just make his life easier. Probably has a better defense as well. I just think Justin Herbert's life as a fantasy quarterback will just be generally easier than that of Patrick Mahomes, even though Patrick Mahomes has every shot at finishing number one overall because that's how good he is.
Yeah, and I'm of the same mindset. The other thing is too, is the offense is going to look different. Like Juju Smith-Schuster is going to take on that wide receiver one role, and he's not Tyreek Hill. We know that. So the offense is going to look different. Travis Kelce is going to be the focal point of that offense. I'd be curious to see what Clyde Edwards-Helaire does, because that's also going to be a determining factor in giving Patrick Mahomes a hand and him not having to be the guy that has to throw 40 times a game. But that's how the offense is kind of tailored with Andy Reid at the helm. So our top four is the exact same. And I think the way we kind of look at it is very much the same. I do have a feeling that from five down is where it's going to get really, really different for us.
Okay. Lay it on me. Who do you got at 5, 6, 7?
Watch that you have the exact same person I have at five. I have Jalen Hurts at
okay,
five.
Okay, I don't have Jalen Hurts that high.
Okay. Okay, so I have Jalen Hurts at five. I have Joe Burrow at six. And I have Aaron Rodgers at seven.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Aaron Rodgers is too talented to not finish in the top seven. I know that everybody wants to say, oh, he doesn't have Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers didn't get worse because he doesn't have Davante Adams. He's still the same great player. Did the receiving core get a little bit worse? Absolutely it did. Davante Adams is one of the best wide receivers in the league, but that's where the evaluation is. Aaron Rodgers was fifth last year in fantasy scoring among quarterbacks. But Aaron Rodgers is still really good, and he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, which is the difference between him and some of these other guys. He has the best touchdown to interception ratio in the history of the NFL. I believe he has the best QB rating among every quarterback that has ever played. So for me, I have Aaron Rodgers at seven. Joe Burrow is going to take that next step. He was eighth last year. I think he moves into that top six because we saw what happened when both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins were healthy. They still have Tyler Boyd. Joe Mixon's there. I think it's a really, really good offense. And Joe Burrow actually has protection now on the offensive line. And Jalen Hurts being five, Jalen Hurts just, he got the prize, right? He got the star wide receiver that he needed. So you now look at that offensive group of playmakers. Jalen Hurts in his own right is a catalyst because of how he uses his feet. They bring in A.J. Brown. They have Devonta Smith. They have Dallas Goedert, who I think is in for another big year. That's a really good group of playmakers. I'm not sold on the running backs because Miles Sanders is what he is, and it doesn't seem like the staff likes him very much. I think Kenny Gainwell is going to have a good year, and that's another guy who you can use in the passing game, a la Nyheim Hines with the Indianapolis Colts. I just think that Jalen Hurts finally takes that step forward because it's make or break for Jalen Hurts this year. That team is built to win a Super Bowl, and he's got to step up, and I think he actually will. I wasn't big on Jalen Hurts last year, but he proved me wrong. I think he's going to be a stud this season.
I will say I'm not sure if Jalen Hurts is the QB of the future for the Eagles. I think this is going to be that prove it year for him. And I mean, look, the Eagles, we have seen Howie Roseman has no problem trading guys away if he thinks they're not going to help his team win. So if Jalen Hurts is a fine fantasy QB, and he was a dynamite fantasy quarterback last season, once he got the starting job, he was absolutely phenomenal. He helped me win a league. It was great. I love him for it. But I'm not sure if he's a real life QB of the future.
I agree.
Right?
But I agree.
But for our purposes, honestly, I don't really care all that much. I will say this. Jalen Hurts, the only reason I bump, he's my seventh quarterback. So it's not like a huge difference between five and seven between your list and my list. But at the same time, I do think there's a non-zero chance that if the Eagles offense, with all of these pieces they have done, and the A.J. Brown acquisition, I think, has a chance to be a really, I don't know if I would call it like a sleeper pick necessarily, because I think he's still going as like one of the top 12, top 15 wide receivers off the board, generally speaking. So that probably doesn't qualify him to be a sleeper. But at the same time, while that has a chance to pay some real dividends, there's also a non-zero chance Jalen Hurts is not the starting quarterback of the Eagles by the end of the year. Like if the division race is not going the way the Eagles wanted to, I think there's a possibility he gets benched for, I mean, maybe it's Gardner Minshew, maybe it's someone else, but I have that in the back of my mind because, again, fantasy wise, he's just amazing, but real life wise, I'm not quite sold, but at the same time, I do have him at seven as well. My five and six quarterbacks, Matt, are Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray only because I think he's going to have something to prove this season. I mean, there is something to be said for the second half fall off that the Cardinals seem to endure literally every season since both these guys, Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, have been in Arizona. Having said that, I do think that, the rushing upside that Murray brings with his feet certainly feels like they've adjusted some of the running backs around him. I know no DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games, but I do believe that even with his small stature, Kyler Murray is talented enough to bring a top five fantasy value over the course of the whole season. It might be a slow start for him, but over the course of the whole season, I am comfortable with Kyler Murray. And Russell Wilson, I mean, beyond the I forget what the injury was called that he had last year, but the mallet finger thing, like when he had his hand in like the cast. And that was like a really weird, like freaky kind of injury. But beyond the time it took him to recover from that injury, which actually was much shorter than I expected, he was shockingly an elite quarterback with all the advanced metrics in terms of him actually accuracy, deep balls, getting the ball out there at an efficient rate. He was up there with any of the other talented quarterbacks. It just didn't really translate as often as it would have to fantasy points. Now I would think he's on a more talented team than the Seattle Seahawks. He just got that gigantic extension a couple of days ago. You know, he's throwing, I mean, throwing to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf is probably pretty similar as throwing to Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton to a certain degree. We'll have to parse out which is which when you do the one-to-one comparison between Seattle and Denver. But given all the talented pieces around him in Denver, it's kind of the same conversation as Josh Allen. I think I'm not sure if Javonte Williams or Melvin Gordon are going to overtake one another. Is it going to be a split again? Where does KJ Hamler and these other guys, where do they fall in here? But at the same time, I just feel like the one person who's going to benefit here is Russell Wilson. He's a veteran quarterback, and I like him at the sixth spot because he is going to, as long as he stays healthy. Obviously, health is a big asterisk for basically every player in fantasy football. But as long as he's healthy, I feel pretty good about Russell Wilson.
So hot take, and I don't have Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray in my top 10.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, are they in the top 12?
Very spicy take. One is.
Okay.
So, and we'll get to that later, but the Kyler Murray thing, not having Hopkins there. I mean, Marquise Brown is a good receiver, but he's not an alpha receiver like DeAndre Hopkins is. I really, man, I don't know if he's going to live up to that contract. I really, really struggle with that. And I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury. There, I said it. I mean, the late season failures kind of tell me everything that I need to know about him as a coach. And you could say the same for Kyler Murray. So, I mean, I was going through my list. I do have one big surprise on my list. It's going to shock people. And he's kind of the guy that replaced Kyler Murray in my top 12. But I don't have Murray in my top 12. That I can say with certainty. And I had a really hard time not putting him in there. But I just felt I felt like I needed to be bold with one of my picks. And it's very bold.
Okay.
How about that? How about that for a teaser when we get near the end?
I like it. Well, so you have Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, and Aaron Rodgers as your 5-6-7. My 5-6-7 was Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts. I had briefly mentioned this earlier, but my 8 and 9 of the top 12 are Derek Carr, and then 9 is Joe Burrow for me. And you went over the Burrow stuff. I think Burrow is phenomenal. I actually had Burrow in a couple of leagues last year. And despite the sack issues that we talked about basically all of 2021, he was still very, very good. And now that should be less of a problem. So the simple math says that he should be slightly better. I only put him at 9 because I'm very high on Derek Carr. I'm super high on Carr this season. And again, it kind of goes back to the conversation we were having about having more talented players around you. I do think that it remains to be seen how much the Josh McDaniels offense in Vegas is going to run the ball. I am very curious about how much guys like Josh Jacobs and Zamir White are going to be involved in the running game. But at the same time, when you get Davante Adams, when you already have Hunter Renfrow and getting back a healthy Darren Waller, I think all of those players will just, I mean, maybe one of them eats away into the targets for another. I'm also pretty high on Hunter Renfrow. I'll say that right now when we get to the wide receivers in the next episode for our previews. But Derek Carr, I think, is going to be the main beneficiary of this. And he throws the ball a lot. He threw the ball over 600 times last year, which is honestly insane. I don't know how this guy's arm doesn't fall off throwing the ball that much, but Derek Carr, he was one of those like guys, Matt, that is so he quietly gets to 5,000 yards, it feels like, or near 5,000 yards every season he's healthy. And now that he has Davante Adams and a healthy Waller in addition to Renfrow, I feel like there's, unless he gets injured, I feel like there's no way he's not going to get back to that mark this year.
So I have Derek Carr at 10.
Okay.
He finished 14th last year. I agree. The Davante Adams thing really elevates him. I am worried about Darren Waller and the injury concerns. Like he's been battling a hamstring injury all training camp, it seems like. But I do have Derek Carr at 10. I actually have Tom Brady at 8. I know there's some things going on off the field, but when Tom Brady's on the field, he's still Tom Brady. He's still got Mike Evans. I believe that Chris Godwin is going to be back, and I'm assuming by week one, but if not, he didn't go on the PUP, so he's going to be around before week four. And they add Julio Jones, and Julio Jones is whatever. Russell Gage is a great pickup. He's a guy that Tom Brady actually recruited, which I think is important for fantasy purposes. I have Matthew Stafford at number 9. The only reason why I have him so low is I'm worried about that elbow injury that they've been talking about, and it's very on and off with him. The addition of Allen Robinson is massive. Matthew Stafford last year finished 6th in fantasy scoring, and that was after missing Robert Woods for basically the whole season after he tore his ACL. So Cooper Kupp is there. Allen Robinson is there. I think that this, and they're going to get Cam Akers back healthier. I think that offense is just going to roll again. And that's why I have Matthew Stafford. I worry about that elbow injury. And like I mentioned, I have Derek Carr at 10. Who do you have at 10?
So I'll just finish my 12 here. My 10, 11, 12, because you kind of talked about some of these guys already. My 10, so 8 and 9 for me, Derek Carr, Joe Burrow. So 10, 11, 12. I have Dak at 10, Dak Prescott. And then 11 and 12 are Brady and Rodgers. I only have them as low as I do because of the, I feel like maybe sometimes I freely admit I'm guilty of this a lot, Matt, but I feel like I'm sometimes
guilty. Are you ageist?
You know what? A little bit. Maybe a little bit. And also because these guys don't run the ball pretty much ever. I think Rodgers is a little bit, kind of, sort of. And Tom Brady, pretty much never, right? I think, he cracked 1,000 yards rushing over his entire career last season, I want to say. So, and hey, look, Tom Brady, I've loved watching him over his entire career, Patriots, Buccaneers, and Florida Tom is a much more palatable version of Brady in terms of speaking to the media, I think, for a lot of people. Man, probably for you too, Mr. Bills fan, I would think.
Yes,
right?
Yes, 100%. Get away from me, Tom Brady.
But Brady is my 11th quarterback. Rodgers is 12. I only have Dak at 10. I kind of went back and forth as to whether or not I wanted to put someone like Matt Ryan in there. Matt Ryan is ultimately my, I don't know. Again, I hesitate to use the word sleeper because I feel like sleeper is like a really overdone word. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we kind of like, like use that word sometimes incorrectly. But in terms of a player who's not in the top 15, let's say, for most ADP, who has a chance to finish in the top 12, I feel like Matt Ryan is that guy for me. So I feel like Matt Ryan is just outside. But, I mean, Matt Ryan, from all the metrics, was very good last season. He was just on an absolutely abysmal team. And now he's on one of the better teams in not just the AFC, but probably the entire NFL. So I'm a big fan of what Matt Ryan will bring, especially throwing to Michael Pittman, and whether it's Paris Campbell or Alec Pierce as the WR2 in Indy. You got Jonathan Taylor back there. We'll get to that when we get to the running backs in the next episode. I'm a big fan of Ryan this year, so he's my sleeper. Dak Prescott, again, I'm wondering how, at 10, I'm wondering how Prescott will look like when it comes to the non-CeeDee Lamb receivers on this team. I think CeeDee is going to look great as the featured wideout on this team. I think I've been a big fan of CeeDee since he was in college. So I'm very excited to see what it looks like. But no Amari Cooper, he's off to Cleveland. Dalton Schultz is there. Is Jalen Tolbert going to be the WR2 in the absence of Michael Gallup to begin the season? When Gallup comes back, is he going to be effective enough for Dak Prescott to be a fantasy weapon? I think Dak Prescott's talented enough, Matt, that that's why I put him in the top 10 ultimately. But I mean, if you don't have him in the top 12, I'm not going to quibble too much, because I think there's enough uncertainty there to bump him, in my opinion.
I do not have him in my top 12.
Okay.
I round out my top 12 with Russell Wilson at 11. Mm-hmm. And this is the shocker here.
Okay.
One of my favorite quarterbacks, because I finally think that they're going to do right by him, even though they didn't really help him much in the offseason. But it's another guy whose legs are going to get it done. Justin Fields at number 12 for me.
I like it. I like it because I also have Justin Fields in a dynasty league, so I like it. Thank you for confirming my biases, Matt.
I am one of the biggest Justin Fields stands out there. I can say that with utmost certainty. I have a friend of mine who owns an apparel company who do fantasy football t-shirts,
cool.
and I have one that says Soldier Fields. And it's a shadow of Justin Fields on the shirt. So
nice.
The shout out to my guys at Viridian. My buddy Will Harris. All right, outside the top 20 ADP quarterbacks, like you had Matt Ryan, who's going right around, I think, that 20 mark.
Yeah.
Between 18 and 22-ish, I think.
Yeah.
I actually have Jameis Winston as my guy outside the top 20 who could finish as a top 12 quarterback. Only because I don't think Jameis Winston just became an untalented quarterback overnight. He had the ACL injury last year, and the way they started the year, they didn't throw the ball a lot. Like, it was really weird what Sean Payton was doing. Sean Payton's gone. Dennis Allen's the head coach. And I wonder how they went out and they drafted Chris Olave. They signed Jarvis Landry. Michael Thomas is back. Alvin Kamara's there. Find me a better group of four playmakers in the league. Like, it's a short list of playmakers, of four playmakers that a team can put out there. Jameis Winston, we forget, and for fantasy purposes, you know, the interceptions in a lot of leagues, they're not very punitive. If you play in a league where interceptions are 2 points or minus 2 points or minus 1 point, Jameis Winston, I think the upside is there. He threw for 30 touchdowns a few years ago.
Yeah.
With, you know, he had Mike Evans, he had Chris Godwin. I can make the argument that the weapons that he has overall are better than what he had in Tampa than when he threw for 30 touchdowns. So I have Jameis Winston as the guy outside the top 20 ADP that I think could finish in that top 12.
Do you think Michael Thomas is going to be healthy this year?
I honestly don't know. I mean, at some point, I think he's going to be. This is just the weirdest standoff I've ever seen.
That's weird, eh?
Like, he didn't want to get the surgery. Then he did. Then he got hurt again. Then there's all sorts. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but I have a feeling that it was a Sean Payton thing. So I think he's going to do what he can to get back on the field.
Hey, I mean, I hope so, because I'll say this much. Michael Thomas in drafts, whether it's auction draft or snake draft, he is going for much cheaper than you would expect for someone who was basically the best wide receiver in fantasy for like three straight years, not that long ago, right? I mean, he was a upper half of the first round type of pick for like three or four straight seasons because of how he was fed the ball. And yeah, I mean, Drew Brees is not there anymore. It's Jameis Winston now. But at the same time, it's not as though we haven't seen, like you were mentioning, Jameis Winston support multiple fantasy relevant receivers in the past, like a Mike Evans, like a Chris Godwin, and a healthy Michael Thomas, I would say is as good as either of those guys. So I like the Jameis Winston pick. Before we move on to tight ends, Matt, real quick, because your top 12, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts at 5, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields rounding things out. My top 12, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Herbert, Mahomes, Murray, Wilson, Hurts, Carr, Burrow, Prescott, Brady, and Rodgers. And then my sleeper was Matt Ryan. Yours was Jameis Winston. Where do you fall on Trevor Lawrence this season? Like, I feel like the Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be so fascinating. I don't know if it's going to be quite the fantasy, I don't know if goldmine is the right word, but quite the fantasy heyday of a couple of years ago of the Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson era necessarily. But at the same time, I do expect a Doug Peterson-led team instead of an Urban Meyer-led team, which was an abject disaster last year. I expect it to be much better for basically everyone, but it starts with the young phenom Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think he's that top 15 grouping. Like, he's gonna have a better year than Mac Jones. He's gonna have a better year than Carson Wentz. And I know I'm not naming guys that are fantasy darlings, but those are guys that finished in the top 15 last year.
Yeah.
And that's where I think he kind of finishes. Actually, Mac Jones may have been just outside the top 15, but you get what I'm saying. It's gonna be way better than it was last year. There's a big learning curve. The offensive line was terrible. The game is faster, believe it or not, for star quarterbacks when they come in. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't light the world on fire when he came into the NFL, and look what happened. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence is a Hall of Famer, and he might very well be, but he's certainly going to have a better year. The only reason why I have Justin Fields ahead of him is because of what Justin Fields does with his legs, and that's a huge fantasy asset, but I would be more than comfortable at having Trevor Lawrence as my number one quarterback if I'm in a 1QB league. I think that's the type of year he's going to have.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a good amount of passing volume for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, some of that passing volume might just be checkdowns to Travis Etienne, but I mean, who knows, right? He might be balling out to Christian Kirk. I'm pretty high on Christian Kirk this season as well, but I do like the I just was curious your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence, because I do like what we've seen from him and heard from the training staff and so on during training camp and preseason. But that does it for the top 12 for quarterbacks. Let's quickly move on to the tight ends. And I'll say this about tight ends, Matt. It doesn't take much to be a top 12 tight end. Like if you want to be even a top 6 or 7 tight end, if you get like 5 points a week, you'll probably be in the top 10 and you have a chance to be a top 5 tight end at the end of the year. Like the difference between Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, and like in years past, it was Darren Waller. And of course, he was injured for a lot of last year. And I'm with you. You were talking about this when we were doing the Derek Carr thing for QBs earlier. I don't know what the injury situation looks like for Darren Waller. I'm a little more wary of him this season, so I've bumped him down in my rankings myself. But the difference between Kelce and Andrews, and for me, Kyle Pitts, and then basically everyone else, is like a staggering gulf. I don't know about you, where you fall on that.
Yeah, pretty much. So those are your top three then. Do you have Andrews first?
So I actually went Kyle Pitts number one. I went Travis Kelce
two. I like
two. It. Yeah, Kelce two, Mark Andrews three. Oh, Pitts only because he's a tight end in all but name only, right? Like he's essentially a wide receiver. I know Drake London is down there. I think he has a couple of nagging injuries. Like they're going to force feed Kyle Pitts the football, much in the same way that Travis Kelce is going to be force-fed the football in Kansas City. Like, he is going to be... I honestly think, as much as I like Juju Smith-Schuster, I actually feel like Travis Kelce is going to be, like, the number one and, like, one and a half option for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to, like, just throw the ball at him on every down, first, second, and third down if he can. But Pitts, Kelce, and Andrews are my top three in order.
Okay, so I have Andrews first, and that he finished first last year. And I have him first because he played 5 games without Lamar Jackson last year and still finished first, and by a pretty healthy margin. Like, according to fantasydata.com, he finished 39 points, basically, ahead of Travis Kelce.
Right.
He did play one extra game than Kelce did, but still, that's a pretty staggering number.
Here's my only thing about Mark Andrews. And again, I still have him ranked third, so I'm not like, it's not like I'm low on him. The only thing, and I'm curious where you fall on this, the only thing I'm like a little worried about with Mark Andrews is that when Tyler Huntley was the quarterback for those couple of games, I feel like the only reason he was throwing to Mark Andrews was because A, everyone else was injured, and because he's a backup quarterback, the coaching staff was probably saying things to him like, look, if you want to be successful, you have to get the ball to your best playmaker. And right for the time he was on the field, that guy was Mark Andrews. Is that still going to be the case when everyone is healthy and Lamar Jackson is the one spreading the ball around a little more?
I still think he's between him and Rashad Bateman. Those are where the offense is going to funnel to. That's what I think. I just think Mark Andrews is that okay. good. I have Kelce second, which we both have Kelce second. I have Kyle Pitts third. I thought I was actually higher on Kyle Pitts at third, but you have him first, which I like. he had a big rookie year. He only had one touchdown.
Yeah.
He had one touchdown. That's not going to happen again, guys. There's no way it happens again. Marcus Mariota is going to start the year as the quarterback. I'm assuming Desmond Ridder is probably going to finish, but both guys are way more mobile than Matt Ryan was with the team last year, which means it opens up more opportunities for broken plays, whatever. Matt Ryan couldn't create those. I think that they're going to be a higher volume passing team because I don't like what they have in the running game. And I agree. They're going to force Kyle Pitts the ball. We're going to see like the 8 to 10 touchdown year for Kyle Pitts. Even though the offense is dreadful, somebody's got to score points and it's going to be Kyle Pitts.
I think so too. I mean, they're just not a lot of other guys around there, right? They're just not a lot of competition for targets. Like you talk about target share and passing volume and all those things. All of those things in Atlanta lean very favorably towards Kyle Pitts. And I mean, he's also extremely talented. I just can't see it. I mean, sure, maybe he gets injured. Maybe they go to other guys slightly, kind of. But I mean, how much are you betting on other guys not named Drake London down in Atlanta this year?
I'm not. Would you be surprised if Kyle Pitts had a 30% target share at the end of the year?
No,
I wouldn't.
No, because
I wouldn't even be surprised.
Yeah, like there's no other option. Like it's either that or they run the ball like 80% of the time, which I just feel. And again,
they can't.
Yeah, and they can't. Right? They have that Tyler. I forget how you pronounce his last name. Allgaier.
I think it's Allgaier.
Allgaier. Yeah. Okay, so they have him. Maybe he takes over some of the running back duties at some point. I think it's probably pretty likely, but they're not gonna like it. I have no doubt the Falcons are gonna be picking in the top 3 to 5 picks in 2023 NFL draft. I have no doubt about that. But between now and then, fantasy-wise, I mean, we've seen plenty of garbage offenses or bad teams record-wise in real life produce many fantasy-relevant players. And yep. I feel like I'm pretty confident in saying Kyle Pitts will be one of them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, so for the next three, so for 4, 5, and 6, and this is going to surprise you because there's one guy in there. I mean, you're lower on him, as you mentioned, but I've got George Kittle, number 4.
Okay.
I have Dalton Schultz, number 5, just because no Amari Cooper there. I think he's the second option in the passing game. I don't think that it's Jalen Tolbert. And I have Dallas Goedert at number 6.
All right.
I think that Philly offense is going to be able to throw the ball. Dallas Goedert had a good year last year. I think he's going to do it again. Like he was tight end 8 last season. George Kittle, tight end 4. Dalton Schultz was actually tight end 3 last year. So those who that's who I have in the top 3. I are in my 4, 5, and 6. Kittle is so interesting because he's a freak of an athlete. I do worry a little bit about Trey Lance. That's my concern.
Agreed. Yeah.
But Dalton Schultz has Dak Prescott, who's better than serviceable quarterback, and he showed the relationship that they have on the field was great last year. And Dallas Goedert, I think Dallas Goedert's in a great position because nobody's doubling him. There's going to be some attention paid to AJ Brown now. There's going to be attention paid to Devonta Smith. I think that Dallas Goedert's in a great position. So that's who I have at 4, 5, and 6.
So actually my 4 and 5 are also Kittle and Schultz. So that's good. And then Darren Waller, I mentioned, was 6 for me. Dallas Goedert is actually 8. And again, not because I think he's going to be bad by any means. I just feel like I'm a little more confident in the offenses that are ranked above him. Being the Raiders, the Cowboys, the 49ers. Dalton Schultz, I'll say this. I feel if there's a player that has a shot you and I are both ranking him at 5. If there's a player that has a shot to be ranked even higher than that, I feel like for the tight ends, I feel like it is Dalton Schultz, because one of the things about him last season, Matt, was that he had to compete with Amari Cooper in the red zone. Amari Cooper and him were like, CeeDee Lamb saw a decent amount of red zone looks as well. But whenever the Cowboys offense was in the red zone, one of the first, the first two targets Dak Prescott looked at were Amari Cooper and Schultz. And now there's no Amari Cooper. So you got to think that just out of common sense, some of those targets will go to CeeDee Lamb. But they're going to look at Dalton Schultz, I feel like, a lot more, and he already has the trust of Dak in the red zone. So I'm a big fan of Dalton Schultz this year. If you can take him at a relative discount in your draft, I think you do that, because again, the asking price on Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, I mean, Kelce is still like a second round pick for the most part, and Mark Andrews is still slightly later. You can probably get Dalton Schultz maybe a couple rounds after that, and I'd feel pretty good about it given his target share in the Cowboys offense. You'll feel good about this. So my 4-5-6, Kittle, Schultz, Waller. My 7-8-9 are Dawson Knox. I'm pretty high on Dawson Knox this season. Mm. I like Dawson Knox at 7, Goddard at 8, and I have TJ Hawkinson at 9. But again, now that you're getting into like the lower echelon of the top 12, if none of these guys finished in the top 12 this season, I don't think anyone would be that surprised, because again, it does not take a lot to get into the top 12, Matt.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's so much variance when you get to this portion of the rankings and in this portion of your drafts. I have Darren Waller at 7 only because I do worry about the injury issues. He's a great player when he's on the field, but it's the stupidest saying in the world, but it's so right. Sometimes the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
And Darren Waller doesn't have that a lot of the time. And Davante Adams is going to eat into that target share a little bit, as he's going to eat into Hunter Renfro's a little bit. So I think there's going to be some regression there. I have TJ Hawkinson at 8. I actually have Zach Ertz at number 9.
Okay.
Zach Ertz was great last year, especially when he went over to the Arizona Cardinals. You know, he finished with 74 catches for 763 yards and 5 touchdowns. He finished as tight end 5. I worry about the Kyler Murray thing, and this is all based on health, because you know, I think Hawkinson is in a good position, even though there's, you know, maybe some more mouths to feed, but I think the offense is going to work there. Zach Ertz he's getting older. So I'm a little bit ageist. Yes, of course. So I'm a little bit worried about that, but I have Waller, Hawkinson, and Ertz as 7, 8, and 9. And I would be surprised if Hawkinson and Waller were not in that top 8, but there's so much variance at this position that who knows anymore? I mean, outside of that top 5 or 6, there's not many sure bets.
Yeah. I'll say this, Matt. There is going to be at least 2 players at the tight end position that neither of us have in our top 12 or as our like sleeper breakout type guy that is going to finish in the top 12. I can almost guarantee it, because that's just how the tight end position works, right? Like, that's why in drafts, if I don't get a Pitts, Kelce, Andrews, maybe Kittle, Schultz as well, if I don't get one of those 5, I'm just waiting to take a dart throw on someone, essentially. Like, I'm not going to waste a mid-round pick on a tight end when I could just get a Cole Kmet, who I have as 12, who I can get a Cole Kmet or, I don't know, like, I don't know if I want to go as far as to say like an Adam Trautman necessarily, but an Irv Smith Jr. or a Hunter Henry at the end of my draft, because those guys are going for like, if not free, they're going in like the 14th or 15th round. And if they bust, I mean, then you're not really out any real
draft
capital.
Who cares at that point?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't really affect you all that much. I like your pick of Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is my 10th pick right after. So I went Waller, Knox, Goddard for 6, 7, 8. Hawkinson is my 9th overall pick. Ertz is my 10th pick for tight end. And I like the, with no Hopkins, I like the Ertz pick. And the thing is, Ertz could put up a decent stat lines in the first 6 weeks while Hopkins is suspended, and he could be completely invisible for the rest of the season and still end the season as a top 10 to 12 tight end, which is insane, right? So I like Zach Ertz at 10. My 11 and 12 are the guys I mentioned, Hunter Henry and Cole Kmet, just because I think Hunter Henry is probably one of the few wide receivers that has the trust of Mac Jones. He had a lot of touchdowns last year. That's probably going to regress slightly, but at the same time, again, if it only regresses like a little bit, he's still going to be a top 12 tight end in my view. And then Cole Kmet, I feel like that kind of pairs nicely with your Justin Fields prediction, because I feel like, yes, Darnell Mooney is going to be one of those guys, but the other target there who is very talented and athletic is Cole Kmet. So I like that pick. And my sleeper breakout pick, I'm going to double down on this. I went with this guy last year, and then he got injured before the season started, so it completely ruined it. But Irv Smith Jr., Matt, I like the idea of Irv Smith Jr. finishing in the top, you know, the top 12, top 13 thereabouts. I think right now he's going as like the, I don't know, you can get him off waivers, I feel like, right now. So you don't even have to spend a draft pick or auction dollars on him if you don't want to. But Irv Smith Jr., if Adam Thielen falls off even a little bit, yeah, it could be KJ Osborne. But in an offense, we expect to throw the ball a lot more. I think there will be some opportunity for Irv Smith. If that's the case, I like him to finish. You know, is he going to overtake George Kittle? No, he's not going to do that. But I like him as a dart throw at the end of your draft.
Yeah, I've got Pat Freiermuth as my tight end 10. He finished tight end 13 as a rookie. I know people are saying, oh, well, the quarterback situation. Listen, Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, I can't see them being any worse than Ben Roethlisberger was the last two seasons. I'm sorry. It was bad. It was bad. And these guys, again, just like Marcus Mariota is going to be able to do it and Desmond Ridder is going to be able to do it in Atlanta, when that pocket breaks down, they have the athletic ability to get out of that pocket and make plays on the run because they're fast or faster. And that's where I like Pat Freiermuth to be able to make some plays off of broken plays, off of collapsed pockets. I think Pat Freiermuth is in a good situation there. I have Dawson Knox at 11. He feels really touchdown dependent to me again, which he was last season a bit. Like, Dawson Knox only had 71 targets last year, and he had 49 catches for 587 yards, but he had 9 touchdowns, which tied for the league lead with Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, and Hunter Henry among tight ends. I do have Cole Kmet as number 12. You mentioned Darnell Mooney being, you know, another guy in that offense. Cole Kmet is the only other guy in that offense with Darnell Mooney because they did Justin Fields no favors. I have Evan Engram. I know I keep going back to the well here, but I have Evan Engram as my sleeper outside the top 20 ADP. He's actually being drafted at tight end 24, according to Yahoo Sports. For me, that offense doesn't have a ton in the way of playmakers. It has Christian Kirk. Marvin Jones is still there. Marvin Jones can still make plays. I mean, yes, I love Travis Etienne, but as pass catchers and especially guys that you can line up in the slot, Evan Engram kind of fits that bill. He has an issue with the drops, but if he's getting the volume, the target volume, the drops won't matter as much because he's going to be able to make plays. And we've seen what Doug Peterson's been able to do with the tight end position. We saw the success that Zach Ertz had in Philadelphia. We saw the success that Dallas Goedert had, albeit in a brief stint when he was the coach. But I just think that Evan Engram is in a great position because he's basically, like you said, he's basically free. Yeah. You don't have to use draft capital on him. You can wait even a week to probably pick him up. But I think that Evan Engram is one of those guys that could finish in the top 12 just because of the situation he's in. And his athletic profile really helps and lends itself well to being able to be a guy that can produce again, finally, as a fantasy guy.
You know how, like, some people say, Matt, that there are some players, no matter what the situation looks like for them, you'll never draft them again because you've gotten burned by them in the past. Evan Engram is that guy for me.
I hear you.
He's that guy for me. When he was with the Giants, I was so high on him for so many years that I feel like I just can't. I feel like if I was, I feel like I'd just be like being some kind of like intellectually dishonest to myself. So I hope he turns it around. Honestly, I hope 1,000% he turns it around. It will not be on my fantasy team. I'll say that much.
I hear you. I get it. I've got lots of guys like that. Don't worry.
But that does it for our tight end rankings. So Matt, you have Evan Engram as your sleeper. I have Irv Smith. We both have Cole Kmet as our 12th tight end picked. I got Hunter Henry at 11. You have Dawson Knox. I am looking forward to seeing Dawson Knox's role in the Bills offense. I feel like we're all so high on the Bills offense, generally speaking. Josh Allen is talented. He's like, there's no quarterback in the world, not even my quarterback that I create of myself in Madden every year. Not even that guy can support every single member of that offense. Yep. So there's going to be someone is going to be an odd man out. It's very unlikely that it's Stephon Diggs. So if that's the case, then one of Jameson Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, Gabriel Davis, and Dawson Knox will not be worth rostering this season, essentially. Like, not on a consistent basis, at least. I'm sure at some point all of those guys will pop and we'll be talking about, oh my gosh, should we go and grab this guy off the waiver wire? Like, maybe you'll be having those conversations, but not all of those guys are going to be are going to be supported by Josh Allen. So I'm curious to see who the odd man out is. I hope it's not Dawson Knox, because again, you can get him for virtually nothing right now, and at a position that is so scarce outside the top like 3-4 guys. I hope for the best for the Bills this season. I'll say that there for the prediction piece that they put up on sportsnet.ca. I did pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl, so there's that at least.
Yeah, I believe that they're going to win too, and they're going to dethrone Tom Brady, and they're going to end Tom Brady's career, and it's going to be Josh Allen, the boy wonder, that does it. That's my prediction.
Well, but man, at the same time, wouldn't it just be like, it's like he's like the boogeyman, you know what I mean? He's like the Baba Yaga of Bill's nightmares. Can you imagine if the Bills got to the Super Bowl and awaiting for them was Tom Brady? If I'm sure it would be like the most cathartic thing in the world for all Bills fans to just completely spank Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Having said that, it would be the most demoralizing thing. I don't even want to almost say it out loud that the Buccaneers could win with Brady. I almost feel like, honestly, if the Bills beat literally anyone else, it wouldn't feel quite as juicy if they managed to beat the Bucks in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I would agree with that. And if they lost to Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, I would crawl into a hole for like 6 months.
Until we do this again next season is what you mean.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and then I'll have to come out of the hole and say, I was wrong, sorry.
All right, well, I will hope for the best for the Buffalo Bills this season, not just for you on a personal level, but also for all of our fantasy teams, since there's a pretty good chance one of us will own a couple of Buffalo Bills this season. That's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, the pod-only version of the show itself, as we get set for the season opener on Thursday, September 8th, and then, of course, the rest of the Week 1 games on Sunday, September 11th. We'll be live from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern across the Sportsnet Radio Network every Sunday morning until the end of, I don't even think the regular season, I think until after the Super Bowl, Matt. We're going to be going at it every Sunday morning. It's going to be a lot of fun. Waiver pickups, start set recommendations, injury news, every game on a weekly basis, and of course, texts and tweets at 590-590. This was fun. Let's do it again. Well, next time up, we'll be doing the running backs and wide receivers.
Let's go.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Ali. Thanks for being alongside us for the season previews of the Fantasy Show. Again, we did quarterbacks and tight ends today. Next time out, we'll do running backs and wide receivers to wrap things up. No kickers, no defenses. Not that they don't matter, but we're going to focus on the major positions here as we get through the season previews. But don't forget, the Fantasy Show returns for real across the airwaves. And of course, it will be a podcast wherever you grab your favorite podcast, just like this one, on Sunday, September 11th from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern across the Sportsnet Radio Network. So for Matt, I'm Sho. This has been a lot of fun. Happy to be back. We'll talk to you next time.